And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. And it's 6:01 p.m. outside, inside too. It's time for another exciting edition of Off the Wall.
Thank you.
And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel, staying here with you, having caught my breath. You know, this is one of these days where it just seems like the whole world is just going too slowly. It's raining outside. I get it. It's raining. But, you know, that's no reason to go 20 miles an hour on a road where the limit is 50, and there's only one lane, so you're stuck behind the same idiot for 5 miles, and then as soon as that person decides it's too dangerous to go 20 miles an hour, someone gets right in front of him and does the same thing. And then you wind up on campus where all of a sudden they've decided to plow all the roads and do all kinds of crazy things. They even have those big, huge construction signs now that say major delays ahead. They have that now on campus, and there's traffic like I've never seen it before. So, I've been close before getting to the station, but never as close as tonight, unless I actually was late once. But literally running in here with 3 seconds left in Amy Goodman's program and nonchalantly just hitting a button for a promo to play so that listeners would never know the close call that I had just experienced, except that I just told you. So, that's why I'm catching my breath, because I had to deal with people apparently in comas on the highways today. Okay, we have another abbreviated program because there's another basketball game. This time Columbia has decided to come out to Stony Brook to get their asses kicked. Okay, fine. We can accommodate. That starts at 6:45 and leaves us precious little time. And also, I should point out, this is going to be the last live show for a while. We're having all kinds of equipment issues here, and it's very, very difficult to get copies of the program up online with what we have going now, and I know most of our listeners listen after the show is on. So we're going to be doing some pre-recorded shows until things get sorted out here, and hopefully that won't be too long. But next week it's a trip backwards a little bit, not in quality, hopefully, but in time. We'll be going back to New Year's Eve in Berlin, and won't that be fun? And at the end of November to hear a New Year's Eve program. So that will be coming your way. And then all kinds of other travel-related programs will be coming as well. So hopefully the world won't go any more crazy than it's already gone, although it probably will. Of course, there's always Off the Hook. We'll be live on that show on Wednesday nights. Wow, what a week. It really has been pretty incredible. And I trust that most of our listeners follow the news. They know what's going on in the world. They try to keep up to date on things. And hopefully what we talk about here tonight is it's not being too repetitive. And hopefully it's something that you're already a little bit familiar with. I'm talking about the actions that happened in New York City last Thursday, the things that have been going on around the country. It points to what I consider to be a sickness. A real sickness in the way that we deal with people. And by we, I mean our society, because it's a part of us. We may see these actions and be disgusted, but we enable them. We enable them by not stopping them. And, of course, I'm talking about the whole Occupy movement and what's going on. No, the Occupy movement is not what's disgusting, not at all. That's something that's incredibly healthy and necessary, in fact. But what has really shown a sickness in our society is the reaction to it, and how we don't seem to be able to even tolerate any kind of critique. It makes us really uncomfortable, and we have to react in the strongest possible terms, and it reflects what's going on in the rest of the world. It certainly does. Now, people compare the Occupy movement to the Arab Spring. They call it the American Autumn, which I think is actually, it's got negative connotations. I mean, spring is something where life is beginning. Autumn is where things are dying. Leaves falling off the trees and winter just around the corner. You say American Autumn, it makes it sound like the end is near. So I don't know if that's really a good rallying cry to inspire people, unless you're trying to put an end to some of these outdated concepts. And then, hey, bring on winter, as far as I'm concerned. Absolutely. But there are lots of comparisons you can draw. Of course, people are dying in the streets of Cairo and Damascus and all kinds of other places in that region. And people are standing up for just the right to vote, the right to be heard, the right to do things that we take for granted, the things that we actually ignore. So we can really be inspired by people with that much integrity. But it's the reaction that is almost exactly the same, no matter where you look. Whether it's in Seoul, Korea, which I saw some riot police spraying some peaceful protesters today. Didn't even have a chance to know what they're protesting against. It's just that reaction is the same. In Syria, in Egypt, in everywhere you can possibly look, you see this heavy-handed tactic. And I guess I was under the fantasy that it was different here. But if you took even a slight look at what happened in New York City on Thursday, there's very little chance that you could go away with the idea that it's different here. It's exactly the same here. Exactly the same. The heavy-handed tactics that were used against protesters that weren't even fighting back, that weren't throwing rocks, that weren't throwing Molotov cocktails, that weren't lighting police cars on fire, didn't seem to matter. You still got your head beaten in. You still got kicked and punched. And you still got your ass hauled off to jail if you just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Happens all the time, all over this country as well. And the reaction against something as harmless, and I'll put that in quotes, harmless as peaceful protest, it's very telling. It's telling to see how the response is against that kind of a thing. Now, the reason why I put harmless in quotes is because it is harmless. Physically, it is harmless. Mentally, it starts raising some doubts in the average American's eyes and ears and minds that maybe everything isn't quite as peachy keen as we think it is. But I'll say most of the damage is done by watching the reaction and asking yourself, what are they so afraid of? What is it exactly? And, you know, watching things unfold, actually, this all began about a week ago, a little over a week ago, when NYPD moved in and forcibly evicted people from Zuccotti Park. You got to ask yourself, first of all, what exactly was the harm? What harm were they causing being there in tents? I mean, yeah, people say, oh, it was a lawless place. No, it wasn't a lawless place. It was actually probably one of the safest places in the city to be. I've been there many times. And were there crimes committed? Yeah, there are crimes committed on any block in New York City, true. But here's what's interesting. If a crime was committed, and I know this from firsthand experience because I know somebody who actually got into an altercation in Zuccotti Park. I don't really know the details. I'm not sure who was more at fault or whatever. The point is, there was an altercation and there was a blow exchanged. And when this person went to the police to say, hey, there's some guy in there that just hit me, can you do something about it? The police refused. They said, we're not allowed to go in there. We can't go in there. If we go in there, there'll be a riot. Which is a pure lie, because many times I've seen police in Zuccotti Park and there was not a riot. But this kind of passive-aggressive way of dealing with it, saying, well, you know what, we're going to stay out of it, because if we go in, it's going to cause problems, so we're just going to let the problem play out inside, and then that way we can say that it's all lawlessness inside, and anything goes. You see how it works. You see how the idea gets planted, and people just stand by and let it get worse. So that's kind of what was going on there. If you're actually inside the park, it was it was really a very safe place to be. But yeah, there were problems because you had about 1,000 people camped out in one square block. So yeah, you know, there was their own security force. There were all kinds of things that they took care of themselves. But the police offered absolutely no assistance as they would with any other group until it was time to crack down, and then they were all over the place. So it was interesting to see that unfold. We basically heard the reports throughout last Tuesday morning. And here's what's interesting. I was reading this webpage on CTV, which is a Canadian network, and they had on their news department, They first reported as of, what time, about 4 in the afternoon. The headline said, New York judge says occupiers can return to park. New York Supreme Court Judge Lucy Billings said the protesters are allowed to take tents and other gear back into the protest zone, which is operated by a Canadian company, incidentally. Brookfield. Yeah, I didn't know that. However, it appears that police are still on the scene and barring demonstrators from returning. Interesting report there. So the Supreme Court judge said, hey, it's okay for them to come back. The police refused to comply. Then, hours later, same story, slightly different. New York judge says occupiers can't bring tents to park. Supreme Court Justice Michael Stallman said that while the protesters are entitled to free speech, that right doesn't mean they can camp indefinitely in the privately owned park. So, you know, I'm asking myself, what exactly happened there? There was a ruling. New York City didn't agree with it. They refused to allow people to come back into the park until they got a ruling they liked. That's how that reads to me. Either this story is completely wrong, and there is no Supreme Court Judge Lucy Billings who said it was okay to take tents into the park, because I couldn't find this story anywhere else. So either she doesn't exist and the story was completely wrong, or something really foul went on last Tuesday as far as getting the court to agree with New York City's rules, what they wanted to do. And then, of course, what happened on Thursday was simply unbelievable. It was a day of action, meaning that all kinds of demonstrations were planned, sit-ins, civil disobedience, that kind of a thing. You would think that Al-Qaeda was holding a recruiting convention in Madison Square Garden, the way the police responded and the way they reacted to people who were simply in the streets. Now, I've been in many demonstrations, I've been in many cities where there's been unrest, where things have been happening. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean you can't get to where you need to go. It doesn't mean that life doesn't go on, and to some degree anyway. But it was as if the police thought that they were sucking the oxygen out of the city and that they had to be stopped immediately. The way they responded, almost with hysteria. Now, in fact, I will say with hysteria, not almost. There is no excuse for the way that they came down so hard on people who just happened to be in a particular place that the police didn't want them to be. Well, you know, if someone is sitting on a sidewalk and you don't want them to sit on the sidewalk, well, you know, you can make a big deal out of it, and you can hit them, and you can spray them, and you can force them to move. But isn't that worse than simply walking away and saying, okay, stay on the sidewalk? Isn't that kind of a microcosm to, okay, stay in the park, leave your tents there. It's going to be winter soon. You really want to camp outside? Fine, go ahead. You know, it's I guess a bit callous to simply ignore people, but it's a lot better than using brutality against them. So I'm just trying to put myself in the position of authority figures. What's going through their minds? And I think what's going through their minds is panic. They want control so badly that something as small as people sitting on a sidewalk or occupying a park suddenly becomes a real danger, because if you don't get them to move over there, you've lost control. And it's all going to start falling apart. I think we really learned something from this. In seeing that reaction, we saw the panic. And on Thursday, the police really lit the fuse. And yeah, they did. They lit the fuse. It's really going now. You might not know it from reading mass media, but there are people still in Zuccotti Park. True, not as many. But right now, what you have is you have tens of thousands of people, if not many more, throughout this country who are angry, who are outraged at what they've seen in the past week, who are very disillusioned in their country, and are thinking in a totally different way. And it's all because of that reaction. Yeah, the protest was one thing. The protest galvanized people, gave them a voice, but seeing that disgusting reaction against them, wow. Now we know we're on to something. And then, of course, what happened in California. Wow. We saw, I imagine we've all seen this, maybe not, but basically at the University of California in Davis, campus security pepper sprayed in the face a bunch of students who were simply sitting down on the street. And again, we had the situation where they wanted them to move and they said no. So rather than simply say, okay, you know what, we'll go around this way instead. Or we'll just walk away and you can chant and wear yourself out and feel like you've done something, but we're big enough to just ignore you. Even though that's not really that big at all, to ignore somebody. But instead of doing that, this horrible, horrible person, and he's one person, but it obviously represents a policy because nobody stopped him. He just took out a can of pepper spray as if it was insecticide, and as if these kids in front of him were insects of some sort. In fact, let me look at the article from the Washington Post. It looks as though he's spraying weeds in the garden or coating the oven with some kind of cleanser. It's not just a casual, dispassionate manner in which the University of California at Davis police officer pepper sprays a line of passive students sitting on the ground. It's the way that the can becomes merely a tool, an implement that diminishes the humanity of the students and widens a terrifying gulf between the police and the people whom they are entrusted to protect. The video, which shows the officer using the spray against Occupy protesters on Friday, went viral over the weekend. On Sunday, the university placed two police officers on administrative leave while the task force investigated. Administrative leave. This has been recorded on so many different videos, all different angles. This happened. This is not some kind of Photoshop conspiracy here. This happened. Administrative leave. That's where you pay somebody to do nothing. No, this guy should be in jail now. This guy should be facing all kinds of prosecution. And instead, he's protected. They won't even release his name. Well, you know what? We will release his name. His name is Lieutenant John Pike. And thanks to our friends at Anonymous, all of his information is out there. Dear Officer John Pike, we are Anonymous. Your information is now public domain. Expect our full wrath. Anonymous seeks to avenge all protesters. We are going to make you squeal like a pig. We have no problem targeting police and releasing their information, even if it puts them at risk, because we want them to experience just a taste of the brutality and misery they serve us on an everyday basis. Oh, yeah. Them's fighting words. But you know what? People can only be pushed so far. And then they start to fight back. There's a lot of admiration I have for passive resistance, civil disobedience, all that kind of thing. But there comes a point where people are brutalized to an extent where they start throwing rocks back. They start lighting those cop cars on fire. They start torching things. And if you want to see us pushed in that direction, these kinds of things are the way to go to get there. And then before you know it, you've got unrest like the rest of the world sees. You have it right here in our streets. But like I said, it's the police that lit the fuse. Continuing, though, with this story, the chancellor of the University of California at Davis said yesterday its police chief had been placed on administrative leave 3 days after two campus police officers sprayed seated protesters. That's right, there were two of them. I don't know the other one's name. When we find out, we'll let you know. After two campus police officers sprayed seated protesters with pepper spray during a demonstration aligned with Occupy Wall Street, the university's chancellor, Linda P.B. Katihi, indicated that she was trying to calm the campus community and widespread outrage at the police tactics. Referring to the temporary removal of the police chief, Annette Spicuzza, Ms. Katehi said in a statement Monday, "It has become clear to me that this is a necessary step toward restoring trust on our campus." Well, yeah, you know what? It is. And I think it should go a lot further than that, because obviously, either you guys don't know what you're doing, or this is part of your policy. And it doesn't just stop at UC Davis. Let's look at all the schools. Let's look right here at Stony Brook. Is there pepper spray in the security office? Do they have some kind of directive to use that in certain situations? If a bunch of students sat down in front of the library or in front of the union building, would they actually do this? I think we need statements from people saying, no, we would not. We would never do that. These are our kids. We respect them. And that's the only way you're going to get them to respect you. The use of pepper spray came after students and other protesters set up tents on campus in a show of support for the Occupy movement and in solidarity with earlier protests at the University of California at Berkeley. The reactions to it, cries of police brutality and pledges to reconvene protesters on a larger scale, seem to mirror the reactions in New York, Seattle, and elsewhere when the police quelled recent protests with force. Seattle, that's another one. We don't have Kyle on the phone today, but if we did, we'd be talking about that old lady who was pepper sprayed. You seen that image? Yeah, she was a real threat, wasn't she? Back to California. 11 protesters were treated at the scene after being sprayed. 2 of them were then sent to the hospital. 10 protesters were arrested on misdemeanor charges of unlawful assembly and failure to disperse and were later released. How many of the security officers were arrested and charged with failure to disperse and whatever else that they are guilty of? It's funny, and there is humor that we have to grasp at in stories like this. But I was following all kinds of Twitter accounts. Like, you know, this is where Twitter comes in handy, actually, because it's a good way to get the word out to lots of people really, really quickly. And I was watching #OWS is what to follow if you want to see what's going on in the Zuccotti Park movement, and actually the whole Occupy Wall Street movement. But at one point when the police weren't letting anybody into the park, somebody tweeted that, well, the police are refusing to move out of Zuccotti Park. We're trying to figure out what their demands are. You know, an echo of what everybody was saying about the Occupy Wall Street people. They've taken over the park. We don't know what their demands are. It, for quite a while, nobody knew just what it was exactly that the police expected people to do. Are we allowed in? Are we not allowed in? Should we be in the street? Should we go to another city? What? Tell us. Just tell us. And it really seemed like they didn't know half the time. After the episode, Ms. Spicuzza, hang on, which one is that again? Ms. Spicuzza is the police chief, yes. She told the Sacramento Bee that the students had surrounded the police, cutting the officers off from their support. That's a quote, cutting the officers off from their support. The videos, however, show no evidence of threats from the protesters. This from the New York Times, and this from looking at all the videos. So, yeah, you're lying. You're lying. You're just lying to cover up your officers, something we've seen done many times. But the difference now is that with all this people power and all this access to personal media, your lies can be exposed. Had there not been video, do you think they would have even admitted doing this in the first place? Of course not. You know, it all started with Rodney King, and boy, has it grown. When you catch the cops doing something bad, they try to make it illegal to film them now. That's the latest thing. You film a cop, well, that's a crime right there. It doesn't matter what the cop did. Filming them is a crime because they're superhuman and must not be captured. Their souls cannot be captured on film. Yeah. Good luck with that. Good luck with that versus outrage of the average person. The university said Sunday it had been flooded with comments, including some from alumni who pledged to stop donating. Bravo. In her statement on Sunday, Ms. Katahi, that's the university's chancellor, said, "I spoke with students this weekend, and I feel their outrage. I have also heard from an overwhelming number of students, faculty, staff, and alumni from around the country. I am deeply saddened that this happened on our campus. And as chancellor, I take full responsibility for the incident. However, I pledge to take the actions needed to ensure that this does not happen again." Well, if you take full responsibility, then you're out of there, too, because it's your fault. That's what full responsibility means. My bad. And when your bad results in a bunch of people being sent to the hospital, people that you're entrusted to take care of, when it involves you attacking them in an unprovoked manner, in a completely unnecessary manner, your ass is grass, as far as I'm concerned. The president of the University of California system, it's going up a step here, Mark G. Udoff, did much the same on Sunday, saying in a statement that he was appalled by the images and that he would convene the system's 10 chancellors to discuss, quote, how to ensure proportional law enforcement response to nonviolent protest. The time has come to take strong action to recommit to the ideal of peaceful protest, he said. That at least sounds like, wow, we know how screwed up things are, and we've got to do something now. That's the kind of reaction that we do need to hear. Of course, I'm not sure he should resign, too. Maybe he should. But at least he's saying the right things. In the capital of Sacramento, protesters marched to a home owned by Governor Jerry Brown. Not his home, a home owned by Jerry Brown. Amazing. They marched there on Saturday to denounce what they called violence perpetrated by the police. Elsewhere on Saturday, 13 members of an Occupy group in Washington were arrested after occupying an abandoned school building, according to local reports. Again, you know, abandoned buildings. This is just a personal thing with me. I don't understand if it's abandoned, what difference does it make if people are in it? It's abandoned. You know, nobody is in there. Yeah, there are all kinds of safety concerns, I suppose, but the abandoned building is there regardless. It doesn't seem quite logical that you move in, beat the crap out of people to keep them safe. Doesn't seem logical. On Sunday, the police in Oakland, California, where tear gas was fired at protesters last month, and that's where that Iraq War veteran was critically wounded by the police shooting at him point blank with something that we still don't know what exactly it was. They evicted protesters at an encampment that had been set up a day earlier in a vacant lot. At least that time, the protesters were given time to move their tents. But saying public safety remained her first priority, Mayor Jean Kwan said in a statement, "We will not tolerate lodging on public property, whether in parks or open space. It is illegal." Well, you know, it is. It is illegal. But it is also a vacant lot. Vacant meaning nothing is going on there. And if all of a sudden you bring free speech there and have all kinds of lively discourse back and forth, I say that's an improvement on a vacant lot. Why is that a bad thing? And yeah, sure, it's illegal. You can point to that. You could say it's illegal for people to lodge on public property. What about all the homeless people? Yeah, all those people sleeping on subway grates and in corners and ATM vestibules. I guess that's illegal too. But we sort of close our eyes to that. We kind of walk past and pretend that's not there. Because, well, what's the solution? Can't really spray them with pepper spray, can we? Well, maybe we can. But when it's really in your face, you know, when there's a bunch of people and they're shouting mad, and you can see them and you can hear them, that's when you got to move in. That's when all of a sudden public safety becomes an issue. Yeah, you know, somebody lying on a sidewalk, freezing to death, picking up all kinds of diseases, starving. That's not a public safety. That's not a health issue. We can walk past that. But when there's a bunch of people together and they start to feel power and they start to mobilize, then you got to say, yeah, who's flushing the toilets? Who's making sure that they get 3 balanced meals a day? Who's taking care of criminal issues? All of a sudden, the concern arises. Yeah. I don't buy it. Sorry, I just don't buy it. All right. Remember, John Pike, that's the guy's name. The guy who did the pepper spraying. Officer John Pike. We'll find out the other guy's name. And, you know, John Pike, if you're out there listening, what you need to do is you need to get to a microphone, you need to get to a camera, you need to talk to people and tell them why you did what you did and whether you really feel that was the right thing to do. That's the only way out of this. People do listen to people. They don't listen to press releases. And this is just great. This is classic. What do you think Fox News went and did? They described pepper spray as a food product. Yeah, I got this from Russia Today. Russia Today, they're having a blast with this. Russia Today loves it when there's civil unrest in the United States. They really do. And, you know, every time I direct people to Russia Today post, the reaction, I always get this reaction from somebody saying, well, you know, do they cover their own protests in the same way? Of course not. They don't. They cover things up. Yes, we know this. It doesn't mean when they report on something that's actually happening in our streets that we're covering up. Doesn't make it any less valid. So, yeah, I read Russia Today to find out the things that my own media is not telling us. One thing in particular, get this. The local Fox station here in New York City, the main anchor for that particular station is the son of the police commissioner. Now, if that was the case in Libya or Iran or something like that, we'd say, yeah, of course, that's how things are done in third world dictatorships. The son of the police commissioner gets the prime job of informing the people what's going on. And of course, he is one of the people mocking the Occupy Wall Street protesters day after day on the morning program. Son of the police commissioner. Yeah, it happens right here in this country. It happens in a different way. We use a capitalist-based system to get there. And it's not imposed by the government, supposedly. But it still is an interesting way to realize how we get our news. But anyway, yeah, Fox News. this is what aired on Bill O'Reilly's show. This was yesterday, on Monday. Megyn Kelly. She said, it's like a derivative of actual pepper. It's a food product, essentially. Yeah. They couldn't figure out why people were getting so upset at being pepper sprayed. Yeah. Now let's be honest here. Yeah, it is a food product if you want to call it that, but it's 20 times stronger than the hottest habanero pepper. It's been linked to deaths. It can cause cell and eyeball damage. It's issued to the U.S. military, as Russia Today says. Sounds scrumptious. And she went on to say, I don't know if from a legal standpoint the cops did anything wrong. Yeah. Meanwhile, in Time magazine, we have this a bit more educated coverage here. A video footage of police using pepper spray on peacefully protesting students at the University of California in Davis on the 18th has been a source of national outrage since. The use of such brutal force against passive protesters isn't as uncommon as you'd think. Pepper spray and other severe tactics have recently been used with disturbing frequency by police against Occupy protesters, young, old, pregnant, you name it. The agent's misuse, agent being the pepper spray agent, goes back much further. In the mid-1990s, the U.S. Department of Justice cited nearly 70 fatalities linked to pepper spray use. And basically, how painful is it to get pepper sprayed, in case you're curious, in case you want to go out and give it a try, you know, this Thanksgiving or something, you know, have some of this food product. Well, police-grade pepper spray gets 5,300,000 Scoville heat units on the Scoville scale of pepper hotness. Yeah, I bet you didn't know that existed. The Scoville scale of pepper hotness. Now, okay, the habanero pepper gets 350,000 Scoville units, as opposed to 5,300,000 for pepper spray. So, yeah, it's pretty hot. It is. Now, in most cases of pepper spray use, the agent is non-lethal, but as noted, it can cause irreparable harm or death. According to a 2004 paper by researchers at the University of North Carolina School of Public Health and Duke University Medical Center, high-dose exposure to the spray can produce adverse cardiac, respiratory, neurological effects, including arrhythmias and sudden death. Getting pepper sprayed is worse than getting maced. Mace causes burning but no respiratory effects. Pepper spray can fell even people with a high tolerance for pain because it restricts the airway and leaves you gasping for breath. Even when pepper spray isn't inhaled, its effect on the skin and eyes can require hospital attention, causing intense burning pain, swelling, inflammation, and redness. Classified as a riot control agent banned for use in war by Article 1.5 of the Chemical Weapons Convention, pepper spray is meant to be used against violent attackers who are resisting arrest and threatening physical harm to others. That doesn't apply to what we've seen, obviously. If you do find yourself being sprayed, try not to breathe in. Don't rub your face. Be careful of cold temperatures. Use the right soap. Make your health problems public. And don't resist arrest. It tends to make things even worse. And before we leave, and we do have to go, unfortunately, we have a basketball game coming up in just a few minutes. This just happened. Students angry over a tuition hike tried to crash a City University of New York Board of Trustees meeting yesterday, and they were met with baton-wielding campus cops at Baruch College. Yeah, they battered protesters, forced them out of the lobby at of the Flatiron District School, and then they arrested 15 demonstrators. So, you know, it's a sickness in this whole country of violent reactions to nonviolent protesters. It's really sad. Hey, write to us, otw@2600.com. We'd love to hear from you with any kind of feedback, information. Again, we'll be on recording for the next few weeks. Back again, hopefully, as soon as we can. And we'll have a special guest tomorrow on Off the Hook. We'll have one of the guys who is running the live stream, a video of what was going on in New York City last Thursday, last Tuesday. It'll be really interesting. That's tomorrow night at 7. So we'll see you again. Stay tuned for Columbia versus Stony Brook coming up in just a few minutes. Emmanuel Furr, Off the Wall. Good night.
The old man turned off the radio, said, where did all of the old songs go? Kids sure play funny music these days, they play it in the strangest way. Said, it looks to me like they've all gone wild. It was peaceful back when I was a child. Well, man, could it be that the girls and boys are trying to be heard above your noise? And the lonely voice of you cries, what is true? A little boy of 3, sitting on the floor, looks up and says, Daddy, what is war? Son, that's when people fight and die. A little boy of 3 says, Daddy, why? Young man of 17 in Sunday school, being taught the golden rule. And by the time another year's gone around, it may be his turn to lay his life down. Can you blame the voice of you for asking what is true? Young man sitting on the witness stand, the man with the book says, raise your hand, repeat after me, I solemnly swear. The man looked down at his long hair, and although the young man solemnly swore, nobody seemed to hear anymore. And it didn't really matter if the truth was there, it was the cut of his clothes and the length of his hair, and the lonely voice of you cries, what is true? Young girl dancing to the latest beat has found new ways to move her feet. A young man speaking in the city square is trying to tell somebody that he cares. Yeah, the ones that you're calling wild are gonna be the leaders in a little while. This old world's waking to a newborn day, and I solemnly swear that it'll be their way. You better help that voice of you find what is true. And the lonely voice of you cries, what is truth?